Hey, it's Lindley, and you're listening to Married to the Game, a series that explores the lives of professional basketball players through the people who matter the most to them, their partners. Being married to a pro athlete isn't always as glamorous as it looks from the sideline. I'll speak with women from around the world about their experience in the sporting industry. Today I have Sarah Iverson. She's the vice president of Rip Golf based in her home state of Minnesota. She's played Division I golf at Colorado State University, where she met her husband, Colton Iverson. I connected with her through Colton, where he played basketball with my husband, Rasmus Bach, on the New Zealand Breakers. While we were traveling in Australia, Sarah got stuck in the USA with her newborn baby, Maverick, and couldn't get a visa to join us due to COVID. Sarah is no stranger to the ups and downs of this basketball life. Her and Colton have actually lived in 7 countries over the last 9 years. I cannot wait for you to meet her. Enjoy. Okay, thank you for joining me. I'm so excited to have you here. Can you take us back to the beginning? So I kind of want to know a little bit about your love story with Colton and how that all began.
So I'm actually from Minnesota. Colton originally went to the University of Minnesota to play basketball. So most people think that's where we met, but I actually went to Colorado State and then he transferred after 3 years to CSU as well. So that's actually where we met in college, Colorado State. He was a year older than me. So when he graduated, he entered the draft. He was actually drafted by the Celtics. And then
I read that on Wikipedia.
Ultimately didn't make the, I don't know how many actually make the NBA roster, but then, yeah. So then they, you know, shipped him overseas basically. So he was in Turkey, his rookie season while I was still a senior in college.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So we did the long distance thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure most of the people listening to this, you know, the basketball world have at some time done long distance, unfortunately. And then when he came back after his rookie season, it was like right as I was graduating. And then that summer we got engaged. And then the following year he signed in Spain. So then after that, I started traveling with him.
Oh my God. Amazing. And so you played golf at CSU, right? Did I read that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. So that's basically how we met. I mean, he loves golf too, and probably plays it more now than basketball, honestly. Like he just loves it. Oh, I always joke he's getting a lot better and I'm getting a lot worse. So it's starting to get pretty competitive now.
That's so funny. Raz is out golfing today and I'm like, I still haven't learned. I'm like, I need to learn. So Raz is like, oh good. You're talking to Sarah. Like she'll talk you into it.
Yes. No, it's such a good sport. And I mean, I see so many of the guys golf, but if the wives can too, it's so fun because then you guys can do it together. And like, we're in a couples league and that's super fun. And you meet so many fun other couples and everything like that. So I'm like a huge advocate for it. But obviously I'm very comfortable around the game. I know that it's an intimidating sport too.
Yeah. Super cool. I know I should have started when I was younger. My dad was like, there's way more money in golf. Like volleyball sucks. You should play golf. And I was like, no.
That's
but
funny.
Now I'm like, oh, I should have. Okay. Super cool. So, and then you, okay. So I was like reading a little bit like what you wrote in and you were, was it seven countries in 9 years?
Yeah, I was kind of trying to go. I always, you know, like go through the seasons, like here we were, then we were, but
yeah.
The countries we doubled up in were Spain and Turkey. So 2 seasons in Turkey and 2 seasons in Spain. Andorra is in the Spanish league, but technically their own country. So, I mean, Spain was kind of 3, but we lived in Andorra one of the seasons while we were in the ACB league, which is the Spanish league. So yeah, I've kind of been all over the place. Obviously I get the question all the time, where was your favorite place?
Yeah.
And I always say as a whole, like as a country, I would definitely say Spain, but as a city, Tel Aviv. We were in Israel for a season, And I just absolutely adored it. If we could have gone back, we definitely would have. And I just love it. If I could go back and visit any of the places, I would definitely go back to Israel.
Oh my gosh. I've heard amazing things about Tel Aviv. Actually, I've heard that it's like super clean and just beautiful. Yes. It's on the water as well, right?
Correct. Yep. So the cool thing about Israel too, is like, we were right in Tel Aviv, and I would say it's very similar to like Miami, like right on the beaches, like clubs and restaurants and all like nightlife, like crazy and everything like that, which was really cool. But then if you traveled like 45 minutes inland, then you were in like the heart of Jerusalem, which was like, you know, like very historic, obviously, and everything like that. So Israel was like really cool because you had like the best of both worlds, type of thing, which was cool. And the weather was obviously really good through the winter, was very mild.
Amazing. Okay. So I'm counting, that's four countries. So how many, so what are the other countries? So there's Turkey, Spain, Israel.
Yep. Russia.
Russia.
We were in Russia one season, three seasons ago.
Russia. Okay.
And then Japan this last season. Japan. That was our first in Asia. All the other ones were, you know, like technically in Europe. And then kind of the New Zealand, Australia, I kind of count that as one.
Oh my gosh.
Cause that was kind of one season, and then Andorra, which is Spain.
Jeez. That's incredible.
Trying to think of if I'm missing any. I mean, that was it.
You've literally rounded the globe. I mean, that's incredible.
We kind of have, and, this last season was in Asia, obviously in Japan, and it just was, a lot different. I feel like we really had a groove going in Europe, and then to move continents was like I feel like we started all over again.
Yeah. What was that like? I've been to South Korea once, and I remember being like really shocked kind of about the culture. I don't know anything about Japan. I would love to go to Japan. But what was it like for you guys? Where were you?
We were in Akita. So it was just like north of Tokyo.
Okay.
So we were able to go to Tokyo quite a few times, and I mean, the entire country is not very big. It's like, I think the size of California. Okay. So pretty easy to travel around, which we were able to a little bit, but honestly, the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life live in Japan, like so safe, so clean, willing to help with anything. The language barrier was pretty tough. Not a lot of people spoke English. So that was probably the biggest battle for us.
I'm surprised actually that to hear you say that, like, I'm surprised.
And very little English, like very, very little English.
I guess kind of a rural town, right? Like north of the city.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. So, and I think you get that in most countries, right? Like kind of like the capital of the country. Obviously there's going to be more people that speak English, bilingual at least, or have some sort of background. Whereas the city we were in was a little bit smaller, so less English, obviously, but we found a really good school. We have a 2-year-old son, Maverick, and he was able to go to, I call it school. It was like a Montessori type thing, but I mean, just like so amazing. I'm not shocked at all after living there, like why their economy does so well and like why their kids are so smart and all of those things, because they're just like, they have such great fundamentals for it.
Amazing.
Oh yeah. So that was cool.
That just reminds me, I was like, you know, on Wikipedia, like with Colton, like, you know, looking at something. And then I saw that his coach speaks like 5 languages or something. Is that true?
Oh my goodness. The Japanese coach, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. And actually, his first assistant this year, was American. He was from Maryland, I think, which was really cool. Colton was like obsessed with that, and he felt that he kind of brought their team more like American styled basketball, which is obviously what Colton's most comfortable with. So that was really cool. That was our first time having an American as a coach overseas.
That. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the New Zealand Breakers season, and that I mean, I'm speculating, but I'm sure it was probably one of the most difficult things you guys have dealt with, you know, to date. So can you walk me through, and I've actually never talked with you about this, just Colton, like what it was like what happened, from your side, and like how, you know, what was that experience like?
It was tough. So I'll kind of take you back to the start of it. So, I was pregnant due in August of 2020. Okay. And so we knew going into the summer that we probably didn't want to sign anywhere because, for the listeners that are, you know, maybe new to this, you typically leave to go overseas like middle of August. So that would have been like a week or two after, our son was born. So we, going into it, we were like, we talked to his agent and we said, you know, we really don't want to leave right away. Yes. So, should we take our chances and just not sign, or is there a different league that maybe starts a little bit later?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how we, you know, came upon the NBL, because his agent was like, actually, this is perfect because of COVID. They delayed their season. And I'm going to get the dates a little bit wrong, but it was like December that they were going to start, or maybe January. Right. And so he wouldn't have to leave until November. And we were like, great. And so my next question then was, are you sure we're all going to be able to go? And everyone that we talked to, you know, both the breakers, some of the NBL, some of the teammates, and then his agent. Yeah. And his agent really has never led us wrong. Like we really like trust everything that he says. And everyone said, you think you'll be just fine because you're married. And we were like, yeah, that makes sense. So we were all preparing to go as if we were going to leave in November. And then the date was like slowly approaching, and, only Colton had gotten his visa.
Yeah.
And the team was like, you know, don't worry about it. Once he's here, we can file an appeal saying, you know, your wife and son aren't with you and they need to be here. And they really reassured us that everything would be okay. And so he left. And there was actually like some hesitancy with him leaving. We, at some point we were like, is this right? Should we do this? Are we going to be able to get in? But we were like, nope, we have so many people working on our side. Like, let's just do it. So he left. And so I'm going to forget some of the details, but it was like, once he got there, he would receive a piece of paper that would help us then get into the country for this visa. And so we filed the appeal. It was denied. And they told us that, because of the holidays approaching, we need to let the Australian citizens in and the New Zealand citizens back in if they want to come home. So they said, try and apply after the holidays. So we were like, okay, we just have to make it through the holidays. Then we'll be able to come and it'll be fine. In the meantime, we actually hired an immigration attorney. So this lady worked specifically with getting people like myself into Australia especially during COVID and everything like that. So we hired her. She was writing formal documents, working with the team to gather as much like compelling information that we needed to convince the Australian government to let us in. So the holidays pass. So we submit our second appeal a couple of weeks later. It was denied again. And this time they said it's because of the Australian Open. And so they said, because of the Australian Open, there was so many people coming in that they didn't want to let anyone that didn't need to be there in before the Australian Open. So they said, wait till after the Open and then apply again. Okay. So I'm forgetting what month that's in, but we waited until after the Open and then we applied again. And this time they said it was denied again. And they said it's because at this point it was like March, let's say, and the season was over in May. Right. So they said, you're going to be here for such a short period of time that it's not worth the risk of me bringing in the virus because you're going to only be here for such a short period of time. So that was the process. I mean, we appealed it four times, were denied every single time. There was talks because at the end of the season, you guys got to go back to New Zealand.
Right.
And there was talks that I'd be able to go to New Zealand because, as you know, his work visa was actually through New Zealand, not Australia.
Right.
So that made it a little bit trickier too.
Oh God.
So there was talks of us being able to go to New Zealand. And then it was only like, you guys were only there for about 3 weeks and the quarantine would have been two for us.
2 week hotel.
So brutal.
Yes.
So we, at that point we decided, no, we're not going to go, but it was just such a bummer. I'm just, as you know, I'm just so bummed about it still, because it just was, it would have been such an awesome experience.
Yeah.
And I know the organization, and this is to no fault of us trying or the breakers trying hard for us. I mean, everyone was like going, even people from different teams I was reaching out to like, hey, have you had any success? Things like that. And it wasn't just me. It was essentially all the Americans.
Yeah. I remember.
Of the NBL. So it's not like it was just us. I mean, I think there was maybe like a handful of families that were lucky enough to be over there.
So crazy. Mm-hmm. And I remember like Raz is also has an Australian passport. So that's how I was getting in. And like a lot of people were messaging me like, how the heck are you in the country? Like, how did you get over there? And I'm like, oh, he's not American. That's like, anyways, like how, I am so sorry. Like that's, how were you guys not essential? Like you were a new mom as well. Like
I know.
Even think on like compassionate grounds, like they would approve your visa, because how old was Mac at that time?
Colton left when he was 4 months and then didn't get home until he was like 10, 11 months old. So he missed like 6 months.
Yeah.
Of first year. And I mean, we had my doctor write a note saying that we tried everything, you know, of the compelling evidence, that type of thing. And this, obviously this immigration attorney, was on our side and she couldn't even, and she was kind of baffled too. She just was like, I don't know what else we can do. So it was just a bummer. I don't know. Yeah. I just felt like it was really bad timing. There was some, we heard different things from different people, but at some point they were saying if he would have signed a 2-year deal, it would have been a long enough time so that they would have said, yes, you're worth the risk of bringing the virus in because you're going to be here a really long time. But it is what it is at this point, but it's such a bummer. I know, it's just such a bummer. And so, but yeah, so I was really happy. So I was following the NBL close this year, this season, because I just was, every time I would see a signed player, I just was hoping and praying that their families would be able to get in. But it looks like most of the families were able to get in.
Yeah, the government's definitely loosened up. I mean, there was a time when it was just so crazy. And like, it was the same thing in New Zealand. They were letting in certain people and not others. And it was like, it's been a whole like big drama on this side of the world. But that's, you know, I feel like this kind of comes with the territory, like just, you know, the craziness, the immigration, you know, living in other countries. So, I mean, you've lived in some really interesting places. I mean, it's amazing.
And I mean, that's a good point to bring up too. And like Colton and I are really good at reminding ourselves, like we're Americans in their country. We can't change, the way they live or what their culture is, or come in and, you know, be all macho American, like, no, this is how we do it.
And so we
try and always take a step back, especially in like the Japanese culture where it's very different than American.
Respectful, right? Like very respectful, like and hierarchical. I've kind of read about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And here we were every once in a while questioning like, well, why do we do it this way? You know, things like that. And we would always have to kind of take a step back and be like, you know what, we're coming into their home, basically, like we need to be respectful of their home and everything like that. So, but yeah, I mean, every different country is, you know, the first couple of months are always wild. It's this huge learning curve. It's, you know, like it's the first time you go into a grocery store in a foreign country and you're just like hoping and praying that you come back with a few things that you like, you know? So it's fun. I don't know. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So of like maybe all the places that you've lived, what would you say, where did you struggle the most besides maybe that last season in New Zealand? Like which country was like the hardest, or maybe in the early days, like thinking back, like the adjusting from, you know, American college life to life overseas?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say Japan was tough.
Yeah.
I think mainly because coming from, you know, our stubborn American ways at times. So Japan was kind of on this side of the spectrum, and then Russia was kind of on over here on the completely opposite side of the spectrum. You can do whatever you want, whenever you want.
There's in Russia?
Really no rule. Yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say there's no rules, but you can bend everything type of thing.
Okay.
You know, compared to Japan is very
rule following. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That's kind of what I mean. It's like in Japan, you would never park in a spot that you're not supposed to. Whereas in Russia, you can park wherever you want. That's kind of what I mean when I say that. And so, or like in Japan, you would never cross the street if it's a red light and it doesn't say you can walk. Or in Russia, you could, you know, there's people crossing the highways. Like it's just how it is. So just very different. And I think once you kind of catch on to that, then you kind of settle in and kind of find your place. Kind of some three things for me that I always like look for right away when I get there is a really good gym, a really good grocery store, and like some type of mall that I can, you know, walk around or just like feel normal in when Colton's not with me. But the gym is always like, if I can find a good gym that I feel like good about, then that kind of, you know, sets my day up and things like that. So it's always just finding those things that you're comfortable that make you feel like a little slice of home. When you're in a foreign country.
Definitely. And moving your body, I think, is one of those things that really helps because it helps you kind of like clear your mind, and it feels the same, you know, to a run in the US as it does in Japan. Like, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. And I actually was reading, I think you have like a bunch of fitness certifications, right? So tell me a little bit about that and how you've used that to kind of, you know, help abroad.
Yes. Yes. So, I'll go back to right after I graduated. We were engaged, but I still was kind of thinking like, you know, what am I going to do? And so I started studying for my personal training license. I got that fairly quickly, same with group fitness. And then fast forward a couple of years, we were in Israel and I went to this yoga class, and it was like the most amazing yoga class I've ever been to in my entire life. And after the class, I went up to the instructor, and because she was speaking Hebrew the entire time, but I knew enough of it that I could still follow along.
Yeah.
And I went up to her asking if she spoke English, and in Israel, almost everyone speaks English, which is
amazing.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she did, she spoke really good English, and I asked her if she did, like private classes, like one-on-one, because I almost felt like I was interrupting the class because sometimes she would like stop and tell me just what to do.
Oh, I hate that too. It's like all the spotlight. Yeah. It just happened to me as well in Denmark. I'm like, oh, don't call me out.
I know. I'm like, I will just, if I'm a beat or two behind, don't worry about it. I'll catch up. Like, you don't worry about me. So that's why I originally went up to her and I asked if she did private, and she did. And, you know, we got to talking and I told her that I wanted to be a yoga teacher and everything like that. And she could certify me. And so I spent most of the year in Israel, getting my 200-hour registered yoga teacher license, which was awesome. I absolutely loved it. And then, you know, the few years after that, I would train like the other wives or sometimes like the coaches' wives or things like that. I did some stuff online, just mainly just to keep me busy. I really like fitness. It's one of my passions, but not like a career out of it per se.
Gotcha. Do you ever, you know, give Colton some yoga pointers?
No.
7 foot tall.
I'm imagining Colton. Yeah, I mean, we could not be more opposite. I am like, let's take the stairs. And he's like, elevator. I'm like, let's go for a walk. And he's like, where's the golf cart? You know, we could not be more opposite when it comes to fitness. I think that might change like post basketball.
I have my like wonders about Raz as well. I'm like, will he like walking with me later in life?
I know. And I'm just like, you know, yeah. And I try and put myself in his shoes too. Like when your profession is to be active, when you're not at your job, you don't want to be active. But we'll see.
And Colton is like so physical. He's also like a workhorse. I remember last season, I think his his ankle or something was like fractured or broken or something. And he was just like playing through it. And I was just like, what the? Amazing.
They did kind of a cool video on that. And every once in a while, I go back and watch it. And it still gives me goosebumps because obviously I wasn't there, but I don't think they knew exactly what was wrong to his ankle because it happened so quick that the next game was coming up. And kind of long story short, he didn't even bring his basketball shoes to the game because he didn't think he was going to play. And then the coach was like, well, you could play limited minutes. And Colton's like, he's all or nothing. He's like, if I'm going to play, I'm going to play. I don't want to play on like limited minutes. So he ended up playing. I don't know how he got shoes or where those shoes came from. Most people don't have size spare 18 shoes laying around. So I'm still like, where did those shoes come from? He ended up playing. And I mean, but he's pretty tough like that. He's from South Dakota and they're like born and bred tough. Type of thing. So it's just in his blood to be like that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like what a Viking. Like I just remember him going out and like having like an incredible game. And it was like the night before they were like, oh, like his ankle's broken. Like he'll be out for a little bit. And I was like, the next day he came out and had a monster game. We're like, who is this guy? Like what is going on? I imagine that. So, I mean, if anyone hasn't seen how tall is Colton?
He's 7 feet.
He's on the dot. Okay, 18 size foot. So how is that in Japan? How does that go? I'm sure did you find basketball shoes in Japan?
I wish I could show you this picture I have because I was like, just go stand by the door. So like any door, he would go stand by and the door, like the height would come to here. So his whole top head would be like over the door. I mean, it just is our 2-year-old. Was able to reach up onto the countertops because they just were so much lower. Everything was so much more petite. So I even felt, I'm like 5'10". I mean, I'm tall for a female, but over there I was like a giant even for a female. People were just staring at us. And I mean, being Caucasian and like Maverick and Colton are blonde hair. So that really stuck out.
You stick out in the States probably at 7 feet tall. Yes. You probably really stick out in Japan. Really.
Yes. You're not wrong.
Oh my gosh. Funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't even imagine trying to like find shoes like over there. And so.
That's funny you say that because the first time we obviously bring most of the essentials we need, but even for me, the largest women's shoes was size 8 and I'm like 8.5, 9.
That's tiny. I actually remember that about South Korea. I went when I was 12 and I'm like a small woman and I was like a large and everything. And I was like 90 pounds, like 12 years old. Like
I know.
Crazy. So you couldn't get anything.
I know.
So you're ordering everything.
I know. That's what I was like joking with Colton. I'm like, this is just going to add all up when I get home. Okay. Because I don't get to shop for like these months. This is all going to add up again when I come home.
Yeah. But you're like, you're going to regret this.
Yeah.
Going shopping. Yeah. Love that. Okay. Cool. So let's see. I wanted to ask you actually, you might tell me what you guys are doing next, maybe what you told me. So this is.
This is kind of it. So about 6 months ago, we were kind of just talking. It was kind of a rough part of the season right before the holidays when you're always missing being home. You wish you could be home and everything like that. And we knew this was coming to the end, but we didn't know like this was going to be the last season. We had talked like this season and next season. And it was a lot more challenging than we expected to have a son overseas. I think part of it was we don't have family super close. I mean, my two sisters and my mom and dad live right down the road. I mean, we're a really close family. And so that was really challenging. Not only like not having the help, but also just not having them experience, from 1 to 2 type of thing. And the COVID restrictions, that was also tough. We couldn't have any visitors coming in. The Japanese borders were still closed besides family. So we had no problem getting in. But like my mom and dad, his mom and dad, those type of things, and no visitors this year. So that was tough. And I think just all of those things added up and we said, well, what if this is our last, you know, we've been preparing for this. We kind of feel ready. So we decided and kind of never looked back. And I think that's why, how we know it, that it's the right decision, because we've never said like, well, maybe we should play one more year or something like that. Yeah. So we're kind of, I call him retired, but he's, I don't know. We're not really sure. Like, you know, when does he come out of retirement?
Yeah.
Again?
That's what he keeps How old is everyone. Colton?
32.
He's 32. Yeah. I mean, most people don't retire at 32 in any industry. Yeah, I'm like, Raz is old. And they're like, what? And it's like,
I know. So he's going to take the summer and just kind of relax and just kind of like be home and present and enjoy our son and everything like that. And then come this fall, I think he'll really start trying to like figure out exactly what he's going to do next. He's got some things in the works, but nothing like set in stone yet. So
the next stage. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, life never stops changing, but that's, you know, big, tough conversations and a real serious like lifestyle change. I know I talk with Raz and like, you've never had a real job. Of course it is a real job. I mean, I think professional athletes work harder than probably any profession. But it's, you know, it's not, you know, on a laptop on Zoom calls, like, you know, doing menial tasks. Like it's like, you're lifting weights, you're pushing people around, you're on jets, like all over the earth, different time zones and stuff. So, well, I just want to congratulate you guys.
Yeah, it's such a good point too. And he said that, like when I would ask him, you know, what are you passionate about next type of thing? And he, there's one thing he knows. He's like, not a 9-to-5. I do know that. Like, and I'm like, yep, you know, I don't see you, you know, going from the basketball court to a 9-to-5, but you know, all of this is still really normal to us being home in the summer, like having a lot of flexibility in the summertime. But I think come this fall is when it will really like set in for us.
Wow. Well, I just want to congratulate you guys on an amazing career. You know, if this is the end, and I mean, what you guys have done is really admirable and absolutely amazing. And like thinking back, what do you think that you'll take away from this experience at large?
Yeah. That's a really good question. And I maybe should have thought of this before, but I don't know. There's just so many things. Like when I'm like going through something hard, I really truly believe this. And like, if I'm always like, if I can live in Russia, I can figure this out. If I can live in Japan, I can figure this out, or whatever it is. You know what I'm not singling out those two countries like it was so bad or something like that. But I'm always just thinking to myself like that. Like if I could live abroad in a different country for 9 years, I can figure this out, or you know, like stuff like that. So I don't know. That's what and to the people that are listening that are, you know, early on in their careers. I would just try and enjoy it. Try and travel as much as you can. Colton and I always say, like, who knows if we would have ever even gone to Europe, let alone all the countries we were able to go while we were over there.
Yeah.
You know, not a lot of people like are able to make that trek overseas. And we were fortunate enough to really like dive in and experience the different cultures and everything like that. I think it's really opened our eyes. And I think we're really good at like seeing things from the opposing side of you.
Yeah.
Living Amazing. Overseas.
Was it like that in the beginning? Like, is there anything that you would have changed about like your experience or would have done differently?
Yeah. You know, I don't like remember something specific, like a specific example, but I can guarantee you, we were very stubborn the first couple of years, you know, like I've said this multiple times now, but like, I remember being like, why do they do things this way? Like, for example, in Spain, they don't eat dinner until 8 or 9 PM. And I remember thinking like, why are restaurants not open? Yeah. I want to eat dinner at 6:30 or whatever it is. And so I'm sure I was very stubborn in my ways and stuck in my ways. But I think once you kind of let that guard down and like open yourself up to their culture and like learning more about it compared to just being like judgmental, then that's when you like really start to enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But it's tough. It's tough in the moment. I mean, you're missing home, you're missing family, you miss your house back home, and you're like all the luxuries that we have back home. You miss all of that for sure. But there's also a lot of extreme positives that you can pick up while living abroad.
Yeah. Have you been able to make any strong women connections while you've been abroad?
Yes. Oh my gosh. About, I would say like one really good one every season. Like we were very lucky to have amazing basketball teammates that for the most part had wives or girlfriends during it. And I was lucky enough that like all of them would like for the most part would stay there, because most people like it's not like a guarantee that their significant other is overseas the majority of the season with them. Sometimes they're kind of coming and going, or they work back home or whatever it is, or family back home. And I was usually really lucky to have at least one or two other women that also liked working out, or also liked, you know, and I feel like we had for the most part, a lot of similarities. And so we were able to kind of connect right away, and since have, you know, still connected throughout the seasons. It's really fun to see that, because for the most part, then you go your separate ways at the end of the year.
That's tough.
And you're on different teams, which is hard, but it's fun to follow and still cheer them on and everything like that. So
yeah, that's cool. I feel like the friendships get like expedited. Like you like have to like get really close really fast, and you kind of get like tossed into it. Like it's like somebody you don't know. You do. And like you're like, you know, trekking halfway across Europe with them to go watch a game or something, and suddenly like you know everything about them.
I know. Isn't that funny that, and like, I would probably never share some of the things I did that quickly, but when you're, in a foreign country in an apartment watching a basketball game while your husbands are on the road, you know, and you're like talking girl talk and everything like that. And it's fun, but I think it kind of brings you back to like what I was talking about before, is trying to figure out how many things can make you feel most home while you're abroad, and some good girlfriends definitely doesn't hurt.
Definitely helps. Yeah. Is there anything that you do like specifically, like things that you might bring from home, like American things or like things that you do to make places feel more like homey?
Yeah. I always bring some pictures, and I always put them up on a refrigerator, just like super tacky, like magnet onto the refrigerator, but it's familiar faces. I did that a lot with Mac this year, our son. And we would like work on names, you know, so like Nana, Papa, stuff like that. Just so when we came back, I didn't want him to forget, you know, all of our family. And then food, I always bring quite a bit of American food. I mean, I think I've gotten better as the years go on, but some of those early years, I remember packing like an entire suitcase of like peanut butter, ranch, those type of things.
And ranch, then, nobody does ranch like the US.
no ranch, or like some of our favorite candies. Gum is another one. I don't know what it is about overseas gum, but it's just not the same as American. Deodorant. I usually pack quite a bit of deodorant because I just can't, I don't know. I just, there's some small luxuries like that make me feel a lot better overseas. And I pack a suitcase full of it.
Yeah, definitely. And it's worth it. And will you tell my husband that it's worth it to pack an extra suitcase? I'm like, every year he's like, really? Like a third or whatever? I'm like, look.
Yes, I will. You give him my number and I will tell him. A happy wife is a happy life. And if that means one more suitcase, it's worth it.
I am. I'm going to give him your number.
Yeah.
He's always complaining. I'm like,
oh my gosh. And you know, I've gotten better about that too. I look back at pictures at the airport, like some of those early years on, and we would have like 10 suitcases.
Yeah.
Just embarrassing. Like I remember my first year packing, like I packed everything and I'm like, what were you thinking? Like, why did you think you needed every single shirt you owned,
right?
You know, to go overseas for 9 months or whatever. Yeah. And now we're pretty basic. It's like, you know, our favorites of everything. And
yeah,
that's about it.
well, you know, now I'm sure like what you need, like after almost a decade, it's like, these are like the little things that I need that have to come that are going to make a big difference. And I found that as well. Like it's the little things.
Yes.
But they do make a
difference. So now tell me a little bit about your situation, because you've been abroad for how long now? I mean, since you've been in on American soil, how long has it been?
Well, we were actually home last August. Okay. So we moved to Denmark in like 2018, which is after Raz graduated college.
Yep.
I'm a year older. And then we did Denmark for like 3 seasons. And then we did New Zealand for the last 2.
Okay.
So, and we're off contract right now, which I love. I'm being super sarcastic. I hate it. I'm like, oh my God. Like, do you remember being between contracts and like, does it stress you out?
It is tough. And it's such a waiting game. And it's so easy for me to say now that we're done with it, but it really is the hardest part. You're starting to think about like, and you, in, then you start seeing all these other people sign and you're like, how come we haven't gotten a contract offer yet? Yes. And that's really tough. And, or, you know, your agent will text you and say, you know, I'm sure every agent does it a little differently, but they'll say like, so-and-so is interested, but then you won't hear anything for a couple of days. And you're like, well, are they still interested?
Yeah.
Like, can we get this going? That type of thing. And I'm not patient. My husband's very patient and I'm not. And so this, what I was like, you, Lindley, I was like, you know, like, come on, let's go. Let's
get
I'm a planner. I want to know, that type of thing. So it was tough. June was always usually really quiet for us. And then July it would pick up.
Yeah. And I think that's where we're at right now. And it's like, it's so funny too, because every year we're like, are we done? Is this like where it ends? Like, do we want to move back? Like, we also really want a dog. I know you guys have a dog and he's adorable, by the way. What's his name?
Chumley.
And he's a bulldog?
English bulldog.
A bulldog. Yeah. Oh my God.
So yeah. And actually, he was able to travel. He went to Spain, Turkey, Russia, and Israel.
Are you kidding?
In those 4 countries. Yeah. I got him registered as an ESA dog. So he was able to come in the cabin with me.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Yeah. And so it was a lot of paperwork. I put my foot down when it was traveling over to Japan. It just would have been too hard with me and
a baby and a dog.
Yeah. So that was, that was another reason too. I mean, Colton was just like, we want to be home with our dog and everything like that. So, but yes, the dog was amazing while Colton was gone and I had a companion and everything like that, but tough to get into countries.
Yeah.
For sure. Lots of work. The airlines are getting stricter and everything like that. So it's really cool, but also challenging.
A pain. I know. We're like seriously considering it. And so we don't have any kids yet. So I'm like, I could do a dog. Yeah. But I really admire you. Did you ever consider having Mac abroad? Or no, it would have been off season.
Like,
Did you plan the pregnancy so that you would have the baby in the summer?
Not really.
I'm like, that's a good plan though.
I mean, yes and no. I've heard people, a few of my good friends have had in Spain. Okay. And, as you know, when we're overseas, the team usually provides health insurance. So if you wanted to plan it that way, it honestly probably would have been better.
Yeah. Insurance. I'm a chicken though. It's not that I don't trust healthcare in other countries, but it's just not your country. You know, you just don't know all.
Correct. Yes. And so, I mean, obviously he was due in August, so we had no choice. And, I came home around when I was like 20 weeks pregnant, because that's kind of when I wanted to start doctoring in the United States. And actually, so that was like end of February ish. And Colton actually he wasn't supposed to be home until like the beginning of June, but that was COVID year.
So he actually was home
like 3 weeks after I was, because that's when kind of the world shut down. So that kind of worked out for us. I loved it because I was pregnant and we were home alone and there was nothing to do. And like, you know what I mean? Like the whole quarantine thing. I loved that whole time. Obviously, it probably lasted a little longer than, you know, everyone wanted it to type of thing. But we loved that. We thoroughly enjoyed like the season getting canceled and all of us being home. And like, we loved that part of it. We did. But yeah, it was then time come the following year to like get back into it.
Oh my gosh. I love that. I'm like realizing that we're maybe coming up on time here. But was there anything else you wanted to add? I actually have like one final question for you.
Go ahead. You ask away.
You've been such a doll. It's so fun talking to you. So my final question that I'm asking everybody here is, what's the one thing that you would tell someone about to embark on this lifestyle? You know, maybe that's, you know, young people in their early 20s coming right out of college and heading overseas.
It's hard. I mean, I talk about this with Colton all the time. Basketball has given us so many things that we wouldn't otherwise have, like travel, some financial stability, you know, like things like that. It's really given us a lot of like really good things, but it's also taken a lot of things away from us, like our niece and nephew's birthdays and holidays and things like that. So, I mean, there's going to be good and bad with everything. The one thing that always got us through it was knowing that this lifestyle was temporary. Like, you're not going to play basketball until you're 50. And so we knew that it was eventually going to come to an end. Right. And so, you know, there's times where you wish your apartment was better or your car was better, or, you know, your husband didn't have two-a-days every single week or whatever it is. But knowing that all of that was temporary or will come to an end. That's always what got me through it.
Yeah.
I guess I would just say, and I've said this earlier, but really try and enjoy it. You know what I mean? Like, it will come to an end, and we're not quite to the stage where like we're missing it yet, because it was only like 2 weeks ago. But I know come next fall and winter, when we're following up on scores and we're, you know, talking with some of our previous basketball families, that we'll definitely miss it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so sweet. I know. And it's so tough sometimes in the moment. Like, there comes days where it's just like, we want to quit. Or, well, me specifically, like, I'm out of here. But I mean, it is, I think that you're right. It is worth it. And you have to try to remember to be present and be in the moment. And I think that's for everybody in any industry. But,
and I will say, I'll add one more thing. I truly believe like Colton and I's relationship is so strong because we lived in, you know, like you and Raz, like there's no one else. There's times where there's no one else that you can rely on, but your significant other. And you get really good at like being dependent on one another and like comforting each other. And, you know, when you're in, you know, some foreign country in the middle of winter, and you're watching like reruns of a Netflix show that you've already seen six times, but like can find joy in it. Mm. Your relationship is like so much stronger because of it.
I would say that too with the young
couples and everything like that. Like, you will come out of all of this so much stronger.
Definitely. If you stick it out, there's definitely like tough moments. Like, we've definitely had tough moments, and you have to choose each other at the end of the day. Like, it's like, we're alone. Like, it's you and me. I have moments I'm like, Raz, listen, like, you're my therapist, so you better suck it up and take it, buddy, because I don't have anyone else to talk to.
I know. Or, and vice versa. It's like, how many times can I listen to you complain about your coach or your whatever?
And you end up being a coach, but or like just a mentor.
You just
like
do it.
In the sporting industry, like, do you get that where you're like giving basketball feedback? Or are absolutely. You one of the ones that doesn't like, I know there's like kind of both sides.
No,
like,
I'm right into it. I'm into it. Oh yeah. I'm into it. I'm like I'm the wife that is watching the games and like analyzing compared to just like, you know, sitting and having popcorn or something like that. I'm totally into it, but
Oh my God. I love that. Oh my gosh. Well, you've been so much fun to talk to. I'm so glad to meet you, actually. After like knowing you from the side, like last year and stuff, it's been a pleasure, and I wish you guys the very best in your next era. Like, we're not far behind you as well, so you'll have to tell me in another couple years what to expect.
Oh my gosh. Well, hopefully I can like figure out these next couple of years, and then when it's time for you guys to retire, I'll have all the tips for you.
Yeah, I'll hit you up and I'll be like, Raz doesn't want to go to work now. What do I do?
Yeah. What do I do? How do I get him out of the house? Oh, thank you for having me on. It's so funny that this is our first time actually meeting, because I feel like I know you way more than
than I do, probably.
Oh my gosh, but I know. And Colton was talking about you all the time. Like, he was so, and I, like, Raz, like, loves golf too. So he was like, oh, like, we should go over there. Like, that would be so cool. Yes. So you'll have to say hi to Colton from Raz as well.
I definitely will.
And Mac, oh, he's so cute. Oh, I will. Also, I wanted to ask, how tall is he? Have you ever heard that, like, at two, like, babies are at, like, half their height? Is that a rumor, or is, like, he a pretty tall 2-year-old?
I've heard of that too. So I think it's boys double their height at two, and I think girls is 3. I think.
Oh, okay, okay.
And so I've been like waiting for that 2-year. So August 5th is his birthday.
Oh,
so
we're not quite there yet. Okay.
but yeah, by the end of the summer. But he's, I mean, when I was comparing, like, Colton's measurements to Maverick's, they're like dead on.
Oh my gosh. Hilarious. Yeah,
like his birth certificate and Maverick's birth certificate, the height and weight at the first year compared to, I mean, they're like identical. So I have no doubt he's probably going to be that tall, but Colton's like hoping for like a little bit less than him, because he's like, it's so hard to find shoes and you hit your head all the time and all these things. And he's like, I really hope he's not.
Oh yeah, my he's like, God.
He's like 6'8", not 7 feet.
I remember seeing Colton smacked into airplanes last year. Like, I felt so bad. He was like the biggest of, like, it was like him and like Rob Lowe. And like, you know, if they don't get the aisle seat, like, they're like,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it looks terrible. I know. Like, it's so uncomfortable.
I know. That's always the, on a road trip, that's like the first text I would ask, like, how's your seat? Did you get exit? Did you get exit row? Like, did you upgrade? You know, one of those things, like, how uncomfortable are you going to be for the next 3 hours or whatever it is?
Brutal. Yeah.
So that's one thing he won't miss. He won't miss traveling every single week.
Oh my God. Yep. Yeah.
Pros and cons, right? Pros and cons.
Well, thank you so much. It's been so good to chat with you.
You are welcome.
It's my goal to use this space to really connect with women around the world. I'm doing this podcast because I've truly been inspired by so many of the women that I've met. If you've enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, share the episode with a friend, or leave me a review. If you've got guest requests or questions, message me on Instagram at Miss Linley. And in episodes 1 and 2, we visited the top leagues in Australia and Japan, and I'll take you once around the globe before the season ends. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.